From the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
CKUW 95.9 FM, homegrown in Winnipeg.
Support of CKUW is provided by the West End Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Did you know we now offer season passes for our fall and spring seasons? It is a great deal. To reflect the city we're in, we program music from anywhere in the world and in any language because we want people to feel welcome at the West End Cultural Center and here in Winnipeg.
Shoot so clean, peeking up above the winter's casualties.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world.
Good morning and welcome to the show for May 26th, 2026. I hope you had a good week. And this week I have something special. A friend of mine, Gail Perry, is here to talk about a book that she's written and will be launching soon. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susan.
So we'll start talking about your book a little bit later, but I'll start with the news and weather. So in national news, according to the Globe and Mail, two high-level officials of the Carpenters Regional Council, or CRC, a husband and wife, have resigned after an internal probe and a Globe and Mail investigation revealed that the organization bought the $4 million property in Nobleton, Ontario, where these two officials have lived for 2 years. The CRC, that's the Carpenters Regional Council, was placed under the supervision of U.S.-based parent union, the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America. This union initiated the internal probe, which has not yet been completed. The Carpenters Regional Council oversees 60,000 members in Ontario and Western Canada. Then in international news, according to the CBC, for the second time this week, a tent used to treat Ebola patients was set on fire, prompting 18 patients to leave the area. Several people arrived at the town of Mongbolo and set fire to a tent which the organization Doctors Without Borders was using for suspected or confirmed cases of Ebola. Another treatment center in Rwampara was burned down last week after a family was prohibited from retrieving the body of a man who had died of the disease. So that's the news for today. And then in weather, according to the weather from the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, the forecast for tonight is 11 degrees and clear, and then, or sorry, that was yesterday. For today, it's 27 degrees and sunny, and then tonight is 12 degrees and clear. Then for Wednesday, May 27th, 26 degrees and sunny, then overnight 15 degrees and clear. Then for Thursday, May 28th, 33 degrees, very warm and sunny, and overnight 90 degrees and clear. Then for Friday, May 29th, 34 degrees, even hotter and sunny, and then 17 degrees and clear overnight. Then for Saturday, May 30th, 36 degrees and sunny, then overnight 15 degrees and clear. So that's the news and weather for today. And maybe I'll do a few events later, but we'll get now to Gail Perry, who would like to talk about a book that she's written about an architect named John D. Acheson. So welcome to the show once again. And
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
It's very nice to have you here as well. So can you tell me who John D. Acheson was?
Yes, he's somebody from Winnipeg's past. He was an architect who lived in Winnipeg between 1905 and 1923, so that's quite a while ago. But he transformed how Winnipeg looked, and Winnipeg still looks a lot the way he designed it. And he's somebody who I think we should celebrate, and we should know his buildings, and we should know his other contributions to the city of Winnipeg and Manitoba.
Yes, that sounds very interesting. How did you become interested in researching him?
Well, I've always been a architectural historical buff, and as a child even, I really liked old buildings. So when they reached a time when architects in the local literature were being identified, being associated with buildings, all of a sudden, I saw that many of my favorite buildings were designed by the same person. And this is really strange because, you know, I grew up in a home where we had a lot of books, we had a lot of music, so I knew about composers, I knew about writers. But I don't think people generally talk about architects. I mean, there might be a few star architects like Frank Lloyd Wright, for example. But hey, Acheson was a contemporary of Frank Lloyd Wright, and they were both training in Chicago at the same time within blocks of each other. So as I wanted to know more about Acheson, because he, you know, designed these really interesting, beautiful buildings in Winnipeg, and I can mention some of them, you know, I was wondering, well, did he know Frank Lloyd Wright? Did he know these other very famous early Chicago architects? Because, you see, John D. Acheson came from Chicago, which at the turn of the last century and at the end of the 19th century was the cutting edge place for the development of modern commercial building. So skyscrapers and steel framing and even later concrete reinforcement and terracotta fireproofing. All of this was coming out of Chicago. And then we have this fellow who trained there and worked there for 11 years, comes to Winnipeg, and he brings all of this to Winnipeg. So we become cutting edge in Canada.
Yes, it's quite amazing that someone like that would come to Winnipeg, which, well, I guess in the early 20th century, Winnipeg was much more of a bustling place.
Oh, yes. It was one of the fastest growing cities in North America, and a lot of money was being injected from London, England. And so there was a lot of buzz about Winnipeg. Everybody was coming to Winnipeg. As one historian friend of mine, Murray Peterson, says, Winnipeg then was the center of the world. And I don't think that's really hyperbole.
Yes, that sounds good. And can you talk about your research and writing process and also publishing?
Sure. Oh, wow. Well, this is my first book, although I've written articles for years, including, you know, things on John D. Acheson and conducted tours on Acheson. I'm not the first person to be interested in Acheson. Local architectural historians and historians have always written little presses about him in reports that they do for individual buildings that are being considered for designation. So we knew kind of bare bones about Acheson. So because I was so interested about him and who his colleagues were in Chicago, by the way, he worked for William LeBaron Jenney, who's known internationally and historically as the father of the skyscraper. And Jenney didn't just have anyone work in his office, so we knew that Acheson was really good at age 22. But I digress, as I always do when I talk about Acheson. So we had this bare bones kind of information. Now, there was a local architectural history buff by the name of Phil Hayes. He was an academic in another area, but he would spend his time researching Acheson because Phil, although he was a longtime Winnipegger, was from Wisconsin, not far from where Acheson worked, and he was really quite fascinated by him. So he was researching him over the years between like the late 1980s to the early 2000s. And sadly, he became ill and he passed away in 2015 before writing a book. He was hoping to write a book. But his boxes of research were donated by a mutual friend of mine, a fellow named Randy Rostecki, who is kind of the dean of architectural historians in Manitoba. And the widow of Phil, Betty Hayes, they donated the boxes to the Manitoba Legislative Library. So they were available for research. And they told me about this, so I was able to research from there. And then in those more recent years, we ended up having a lot of information available on internet. So I was able to do some new research on that as well. And then my husband and I, we traveled everywhere where we could see a standing Atchison building, and we knew the catalog of buildings because of Phil's work and also because of this wonderful online resource called the Dictionary of Biographical Dictionary of Canadian Architects, edited by a fellow named Robert Hill, who just passed away about 6 weeks ago. And so we were able to photograph over 100 buildings in Chicago, in Winnipeg, in Saskatchewan, and in California. So this was kind of part. Oh, and then during COVID, I couldn't get to Chicago to do some research that I wanted to do. So I contacted the Illinois Institute of Technology, and I met online a person named Alejandro Sendaña Perales, and he was a doc, like working for his PhD. He did research on my behalf, and he is now Dr. Sendaña Perales. So he has become a friend. So there's a lot of stories behind the story of writing a book. In terms of the publisher, it is the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation, which is a nonprofit group here in Winnipeg. It is celebrating its 30th year of celebrating and educating on the subject of Winnipeg's built heritage. And believe it or not, in just 30 years, they have produced 24 publications on Winnipeg's built heritage, and this is like the 24th. And it's really amazing because this is an organization that relies on grants as they come. They don't have a guaranteed grant source, and also volunteer work and also individual donors. And so they have put together this beautiful book, you know, in terms of the design. And they have a team that has worked on many of their books. And so they're really very highly honed. Designer named Robin Jesterniak, or Burdocks is the name of her company, has done a beautiful, they've created an elegant book that I feel is worthy for the story of the builder of elegant buildings.
Well, yes, that sounds very good. And I hear that you're having a book launch coming up, or two book launches, and hopefully I'll have a chance to see your book at least one of those.
Sure. So there's a book launch. The book will become available at bookstores as of June 6th. There will be a launch at McNally Robinson on June 6th. It's a Saturday at 7 p.m. It will have a little presentation by me with PowerPoint slides to see the beautiful buildings of Atchison. So just think of this as includes something like the skyscrapers, the old skyscrapers in Winnipeg, like the Boyd Building and the Union Trust and the Bank of Hamilton. So if you think of those monolithic early skyscrapers in downtown Winnipeg, half of them have been designed by Atchison. And then, you know, he also designed the former Manitoba School for the Deaf, which is now the flagship building for the Canadian Mennonite University in Tuxedo on Shaftesbury. What else? Oh, there's just so many of them. Grosvenor Square, that really interesting kind of Elizabethan-looking or Tudor-looking structure on the corner of Stafford and Grosvenor, which is apartments and retail. So you'll find that many downtown and local landmarks were designed by Atchison. So I'll be talking a little bit about that at the launch, and there will be a book signing and hopefully some time to mingle. Then on the following Sunday, on June 14th at Down the Vert, there's going to be a free presentation. It'll be a longer kind of a talk by me, between 1:30 and 2:30 or so.
Well, that sounds very good. And you were mentioning just before the show that you're having another interview with a different host on CKUW here.
Yes, Ron Robinson and Carol McGimmon. So I'm really looking forward to talking to them about the book. And I really appreciate the support of CKUW, who looks after the community so well.
Well, it's nice to have you here. And is there anything else that you'd like to mention about the book itself or about the launch or anything else that you haven't mentioned yet?
No, but I would just like to say, so yes, I guess, I would like to say that it really is important for us to put a name to the buildings around us, whether they're Atchison's or not. We have many great architects here. Winnipeg is considered the architectural mecca of Canada. And, you know, it just makes life more interesting to take note of them and look at all the gorgeous detail. And it causes us to have a connection to the people who came before. And really, we're the custodians of these buildings for the people of the future.
Well, yes, that's right. And I sometimes find it ironic that, at least from what I've heard, part of the reason why Winnipeg has all of these wonderful buildings is that there was an economic downturn here in about 1910 or 1920. So yes. Then people didn't tear down all of the old buildings. They
no.
left them up. So.
And then we hope to think that we've become a little bit wiser about the economic value of these buildings, for example, to the movie industry, or the green value. You know, we've got all this really beautiful material. You don't want that in the landfill site and then replaced by yet something else that takes more energy and material.
Well, that's right. So I'm sure that'll be at least a little bit of your presentation on the 6th. And
maybe a hint for what's ahead.
Well, that's right. And so thank you very much for speaking with me today. It was very good to hear from you, and good luck on the book launch as well.
Thank you very much, Susan.
Thanks. So that was Gail Perry talking about her book about John D. Atchison, an architect who worked in Winnipeg for several years in the beginning of the 20th century. So thank you very much for being here, and good luck on everything coming up. And now maybe we'll listen to a little bit of music. And this is part of Romeo and Juliet by Sergei Prokofiev. So enjoy. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble getting this going, but I'll see if I can get it to work now.
Join us in celebrating the diversity and beauty of the North End at the 3rd Annual North End Neighbors Cultural Festival, Saturday, May the 30th, 12 to 4 p.m. at the Ukrainian Labor Temple, 591 Pritchard Avenue. The theme of the festival is sharing our cultures and building relationships, and the event will feature free food, entertainment, displays, and activities. All are welcome to attend.
Do you hear that? It's a wood thrush. Songbirds lift our hearts, bring us joy, support healthy environments, and connect us with nature. Sadly, due to free-roaming cats, collisions with buildings, and habitat loss, over a quarter of Canada's birds have disappeared. It's heartbreaking. With your help, Nature Canada has mobilized thousands of Canadians for more than 85 years to protect and celebrate birds. To find out how you can save bird lives, go to birds.naturecanada.ca.
So welcome back. And so before the break, I was talking to Gail Perry, who's launching a book about an architect named John D. Atchison. And so so then I haven't actually reviewed a book about architects, but I thought I would talk about Anything But a Still Life, The Art and Lives of Molly Lamb and Bruno Bobach by Nathan M. Greenfield. And that's Goose Lane Editions, and it's 328 pages. So here's my review of that. A painting is much more than a few drawings on canvas. Sometimes it connects deeply with the artist's life and outlook. In Anything But a Still Life, The Art and Lives of Molly Lamb and Bruno Bobach, Nathan M. Greenfield examines the influences and legacy of two Canadian painters whose work as war artists and later contributions had a major influence on art in this country. Both Molly Lamb and Bruno Bobach were war artists, recording the people and scenes of the Second World War in their paintings. They married soon after the war and settled in Fredericton, where they pursued their separate but parallel careers in the following decades. So the author of the book traces the progress of their painting styles, influences, and awards that they received. Even as their careers progressed, the couple's marriage deteriorated. Greenfield scatters biographical information throughout the book, often in relation to artistic choices or changes in the focus of how Bruno and Molly worked. Readers get a sense of the volatile relationship and differing outlooks on life as seen through the paintings of the two produced over the decades of their marriage. Although the book contains some elements of a biography, it is much more of an assessment of how Molly and Bruno Bobach fit in the history of Canadian art. Included in the book are reflections on the influence of them on them of artistic styles such as Expressionism and of other artists working in the same genre, including the Group of Seven. So as a side note, if you know about art, that's very helpful. And I don't know much about art, but I was lost at times, but it was still very interesting. So pictures scattered throughout the text and in the middle help readers to understand the author's discussion, if there are certain artistic terms that you don't know. And it helps to give readers a sense of the two painters' styles. The book also includes reflections on related but somewhat off-topic issues, such as the likelihood of certain flowers blooming at the time depicted in Molly's paintings, or the techniques of fly fishing in relation to Bruno's artistic endeavors. So it's a little bit scattered at times, but it still fits in with the overall purpose of the book. With an extensive bibliography and endnotes, this book is a good resource for students and researchers working to understand the contributions of these two Canadian artists, especially in relation to the history of Western art. Having at least some knowledge, as I mentioned, of the terminology of art and painting is helpful in appreciating the content of this somewhat academic book. However, even relative amateurs can appreciate the chance to learn something of the influences on 20th century Canadian art, and any of the book's readers might enjoy the pun in the title. Although, as in Anything But a Still Life. Although they painted still life pictures, Molly and Bruno Bobach's lives were far from dull. Anything But a Still Life is possibly a little bit too technical for the average interested amateur, but the author's discussions of the different styles of painting in relation to other Canadian artists and to general trends in society could be helpful for art students or even a wider audience. Whether as a reference work or a relatively academic account of the contributions of two Canadian artists, this book could be a good choice for many readers. And a little bit of a biography. Nathan M. Greenfield has written 8 books, as well as being a contributor to the Times Literary Supplement, as well as Maclean's, the Globe and Mail, and other publications. His book on Canadians in the Second World War was shortlisted for the Governor General's Award for Nonfiction. So that's Anything But a Still Life, The Art and Lives of Molly Lamb and Bruno Bobach by Nathan M. Greenfield, Greenfield. And that's Goose Lane Editions, and it's 328 pages. And the interview that I had was with Gail Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, and talking about John G. Acheson, architect. And Acheson is A-T-C-H-I-S-O-N. And so she'll be launching this book on June 6th at McNally Robinson at 7 o'clock. So if you're interested in finding out more about Acheson or about architecture in general, that's a good place to come. And so I hope you'll make it to her book launch or at least listen to her second interview with Ron Robinson, which is coming up. And now maybe we'll do a few events. So it's time for CQW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So there's the third annual North End Neighbors Culture Fest coming up on Saturday, May 30th from 12 to 4 p.m. Free food, entertainment, displays, and activities at the Ukrainian Labor Temple, 591 Pritchard Avenue. So that's the North End Neighbors Culture Fest this Saturday from 12 to 4 p.m. at 591 Pritchard Avenue. And then and for May Works, there are a few events left, and one of them was the one I just mentioned, but also there's, on the 30th and 31st, Workers of the World Unite, tours of the historic Ukrainian Labor Temple, part of Doors Open, and that's, so that's the Labor Temple, and this is part of Doors Open, so that's at 591 Pritchard once again, and that's 11 to 4 on the 30th and 31st of May. And also on those days, 30th and 31st, there's the Ivan Franko Museum Tours, and that's also at the same place, and from 12 to 4. And then on May 31st, there's Celtic Session at the Barn Hammer, and that's Barn Hammer Brewing Company at 595 Wall Street. And then on the 7th of June, Confronting the Resurgent Right book launch. And doors open at 4:30 p.m., launch at 5 p.m. That's at Whodunit Books, 163 Lilac Street. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQW, email us at CQW@uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. So we're coming to the end of the show for today, but I hope you enjoyed hearing about the Acheson book and that you'll come out if possible and listen to Gail talking about the book at her launch, and also listen to the interview that she's going to have with Ron Robinson coming up. I believe it'll be playing next Thursday, or I'm not sure if it's 2 days from now or the following, or I guess it would be 2 days from now, most likely, or maybe the following Thursday. But that's coming up quite soon, and her book launches June 6th at McNally Robinson at 7 o'clock. That's McNally Robinson in Grant Park. So be sure to come for that, and I hope you'll enjoy the book launch, and if you're interested in architecture, even if you want to find out more about it, that's a good opportunity for that. So, as I mentioned, we're coming to the end of the show for today, but I hope you'll stay tuned for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and have a great week. Bye.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Diversity Food Services. Diversity is a social enterprise committed to a just and fair food economy in Winnipeg. Elements Restaurant at 501 Portage Avenue is a proud part of Diversity Food Services family. A full-service, licensed sit-down restaurant with easy access right off of Portage Avenue.
Hey there, you're listening to 90.